For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Letting go of old stories. So we're going to talk about letting go of old stories. And Rebecca Solnit says, a few stories are sinking ships, and many of us go down with these ships even when the light boats are bobbing all around us. We think we tell stories, but the stories often tell us. Tell us to love or hate, to see or to be blind. Often, too often, stories saddle us, ride us, whip us onward, and tell us what to do, and we do it without questioning. Think about that. How many times has a story in your head caused you to do something that you kind of regret because you didn't question the story, you just believed it and moved on? And the stories are thoughts in our head. Thoughts are really just images and sound bites. They're not necessarily reality. Scientists estimate we have 50 to 80,000 thoughts a day. That's 2 to 3,000 thoughts per hour. None of us could name all the 2 to 3,000 thoughts we had in the last hour because many of them are unconscious. Our brains are designed to have these thoughts, and these thoughts are just the stories, that the reruns that we play in our mind over and over, rehashing the past over and over as if rehashing it for the 60th time is going to change the ending. Or stirring up anxiety about the future as if planning things down to the minute detail is really going to give us control over our future. Not going to happen. So these stories, they pull us into a narrative. And the narrative may or may not be true, but they also pull us away from what's happening in the present moment. How many times have you found yourself driving home, you get home, and you can't remember driving home at all? Because you were totally, and you don't know where you were. You were just lost in thought, totally lost. So stories are going to come up in our mind. We can't control the fact that stories will come up in our mind, because that's what minds do. They secrete stories. But we're often not even aware that the story's playing. And I think that's why all of us are in here at this group, because we want to become aware of the stories we're playing. If we're not aware of the stories we're playing, they can jerk us around, make us do things that we don't necessarily, aren't necessarily happy that we've done. They can put us on that hamster wheel of reactivity, and they can define us. If we're not aware of our stories, they define who we are. For example, the story I was telling myself was I was not enough. And so how did that define me? Well, I had to know everything and do everything in order to be enough. And so it had me running around like a chicken with its head cut off, trying to do everything for everyone and know everything that I was, quote, supposed to know or thought I should know, and could never admit to being wrong or not knowing something. So my story defined who I was. Paul Zak says, scientists liken attention to a spotlight. We're only able to shine it on a narrow area. If that area seems less interesting than some other area, our attention wanders. Wonder why our mind wanders in meditation. Maybe our breath is less interesting than some of the thoughts that we have. And once a story sustained our attention long enough, we begin to emotionally resonate with the story's characters. Our minds do not know that the story is a story or if the story is reality. They just know that it's happening, and so we start to resonate. Neurontologists call this transportation. You experience this when your palms sweat as James Bond trades blows with a villain on top of a speeding train. It's not happening to us, but we feel like it is. We feel the feelings. It's an amazing neural feat. We watch a flickering image that we know is fictional, but evolutionarily old parts of our brains simulate the emotions we intuit James Bond must be feeling, and we begin to feel those emotions too. So when those stories are playing in our unconscious, we start feeling the feelings those stories evoke. And that's why we get up on the wrong side of the bed. That's why we often feel grumpy for no reason that we can explain. When we look closely at our stories, we find many of them are figments of our imagination. We think we remember accurately, but our brains are not video recorders. We take still pictures and fill in the blanks. Some stories start as replays of the monologues of our parents or caregivers. Other stories come from our inner critic, who's so worried we'll fail that it's constantly trying to fix us. Many of our stories were helpful at some time in our past, and we continue to replay them despite the fact that they are no longer helpful. The stories we tell ourselves influence our thoughts, our words, and our behaviors. They're the blueprint on which we build our lives. Our stories influence whether we're happy or sad, anxious or calm, angry or whatever. They make us feel like we're not okay, not enough, a failure, or not lovable. The more we play that story, the stronger the feeling. And if we're not careful, our stories will limit the future we create. Frank Ostrzeszewski says, when we realize that we dwell on and retell a story, this unquestioned recirculating of memories can lodge old suffering even more deeply in our minds, causing the present to be defined by the past. How many of us have caused our present to be defined by our past? Our stories often follow a LIFO pattern, last in, first out. When we keep piling new stories onto our unconscious, they cover up the older and more painful stories. And when these stories play in our unconscious mind, we feel uncomfortable, angry, or anxious, but we don't know why. Meditation helps us to slow down so we can see more of our mental chatter. We learn to notice thoughts that arise. We see our habit patterns and our regrets. We feel our body sensations. So we bring those all into our awareness. At prison today, we were discussing rain. And afterwards, I asked the guys, who would you be if you didn't have a limiting belief? And a number of them said, I don't have any negative beliefs about myself. Which made me question, is that really true? And then I looked back at myself and saw that 10 years ago, I probably would have said the same thing. They're all unconscious. So we really want to try to become more aware of all the thoughts we have, not just the positive ones. Elizabeth Lesser said, my prayer to God every day, remove the veils so I might see what is really happening here and not be intoxicated by my stories and my fears. Let me read that again. My prayer to God every day, remove the veils so I might see what is really happening here and not be intoxicated by my stories and my fears. So how can we do that? I see there's 6 steps that we can do in our everyday life to really live more reality and let go of our own stories. We'll look at the first 3 steps today and the next 3 at the next session. And the steps are 1, noticing the story arising. 2, changing the focus of our attention. 3, investigate the story. 4, let go of the story. 5, rewrite your story. And 6, start living your new story. So noticing the story arising, we have a whole drama department in our head. The casting director is indiscriminately handing out roles of inner dictators and judges, adventurers and prodigal daughters, heroes and victims. And we have these stories going on in our head, telling us how horrible we are, we eat too much, we're fat and lazy, we'll never be able to meditate. And we listen to those stories until we somehow come to believe that these ruminations, judgments, and worries are an accurate representation of reality, when what they really are is just thought bubbles, figments of our imagination. Next time you find yourself sitting in traffic, riding a subway or a bus, waiting in line, stop for a moment and notice what's happening in your mind. Chances are you'll find yourself knee-deep in a story. It may be recounting a newspaper article you read over morning coffee, making plans for the weekend, or rehashing a disagreement, according to Grace Bullock. Practicing writing down our top 10 thoughts of the day helps us to become more aware of our thoughts. When we recognize our mind has produced a story, we can notice it just like we do during meditation. We can remind ourselves we're telling a story, and we can choose to interrupt the story so the neural pathways don't get stronger. If we don't change the focus of our attention, it's likely that the tension in the story will increase, making it harder for us to pull our attention away from it, and we'll be on the hamster wheel of reactivity. So the second step is changing the focus of your attention. As soon as we notice a story coming up in our mind, we have a choice. Do I want to continue telling the story? Do I want to change the focus of my attention? Or do I need to distract myself? When we choose to change the focus of our attention, we can bring our attention back to the breath like we do in meditation. Look for the link in the article for the breath poems and breath practices you might find helpful. You're going to have to do these breath poems and breath practices on a regular basis to strengthen those neural pathways so they become automatic. Sometimes the breath practices or poems don't work, and so we need to distract ourselves because we don't have the strength at the moment to deal with the discomfort from that story. Or maybe we're at a party or in the grocery store, and it's just not the right time for us to be dealing with it. So we may choose some other activity to shift the focus of our attention to. But be careful with distractions. They may start out as medicine, but if we rely on them too heavily, they can become addictions. I recommend you look through the breath poems and practices and choose one that you think can be an anchor to help you change the focus of your attention. Try them all out and see which will work for you. And then practice that one regularly so it becomes a strong neural pathway and you automatically go to that. The other reflection that you can do is think about some ways you can distract yourself so you can increase your strength to face the discomfort of the story that you're not ready to deal with. Because if you don't know how to distract yourself when you're calm and the story hasn't pressed your button, it's going to be very hard for you to figure out how to distract yourself. So you may look at changing what you're doing. For example, putting on some music or picking up a book to read, turning on a movie, going for a walk, calling a friend, or simply just asking yourself, are you sure? It's important that you distract yourself rather than let the story continue to play out, because we don't want that neural pathway to get any stronger. The third step is investigate the story. When we investigate, we're not acting like a detective, figuring out who did what when, who is to blame and who is at fault. We're not getting lost in the plot of the story. We're probing underneath the story. So take some time for this reflection. Start by thinking of a story that you're telling yourself that limits you. It may be what you need in order to be happy. It may be that self-care is selfish and indulgent, and that you shouldn't waste your time on it. It might be how you can't stop your anger or your jealousy or your anxiety. You tell yourself that's just who you are. Or maybe it's something a parent, caretaker, friend, partner, or boss told you. Choose a story that's not too upsetting so we can build the skill of investigating. And then you'll reflect on the following questions. The first question, is this story empowering me or limiting me? What sensations am I feeling in my body? When do I remember first feeling those sensations? That helps to lead me to where this story came from. What are the actual facts of the story? And what have I added on to those facts? Is this story true, partially true, or no longer true? When I tell myself this story, what am I believing about myself? What is it like to live with this belief? What stops me from letting go of this belief? What would my life be like without this belief? What does the vulnerable feeling underneath the belief need? Is it time to let go and/or to rewrite my story? Frank Ostrzeszewski says, rather, the point of stories is to take the separated, isolated, broken pieces of our lives and in the telling of them produce moments of wholeness. So if we want to produce true moments of wholeness, we need to spend some time investigating our stories without getting caught up in the plot. Spend some time there so you'll be ready for our next session where we'll practice letting go, rewriting your story, and starting to live your new story.